bless you. It's good reckoning his name in his house again.
Amen.
I've heard this song several times, but the guy saying it's not a real long song. He said, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he'll want to drive. And he will take you to places you don't want to go. So just hold to God's unchanging hand. We're going to read Psalm 86 this morning, verses 1 through 12. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity to come together to worship again. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing for us and doing in our hearts. Father, we thank you for this Sunday school lesson this morning. Father, we pray that when we hear words, that they become a part of us and lead us and bless us and give us strength, Lord, that we have need of. For Satan never stopped raging, never stopped trying to destroy us and turn us aside. Lord, and we see all these things happening in this world today. Lord, the things that you promised would be, Lord, now they are. Father, help us and bless this service. Bless the ministry this morning. As Brother Wade bring it to us, God, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy, and unto all them call upon me.
Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication.
In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are
all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Let me see.
Now, Brother Michael, would you come and take it off on this picture? Sing that chorus, Learning to Lean in the key of F.
Oh, I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm ever dream. I'm learning to found me when I was so lonely.
It's been paid in full. I tell you, we rely on those words. It is finished. Amen. Amen. Let's start off with the chorus. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
I'm going to live. I'm going to work so God can use me. What? Any day. Any time. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good to have most back, and some are gone. But good to have Brother Bob and them back with us. And pray that Sister Esther and Brother Mike are, I'm sure they're having a good time wherever they're at. So we just pray them back home. When are they coming home this week? Sunday. Today? Today. Okay. Well, we pray that everything will work out good and they get back home so they can start their life together. Amen. Good to have these that are young, that are getting their life started. Brother Brown told us, he said, if you knew the Lord was coming, he said, plant potatoes. Go ahead and plant. Go ahead and plant. Go ahead and make the future. Make a plan for the future. If we don't make it, that's okay. If we do make it, that's okay too. Amen. So let's be seated for just a minute. I got some things we need to go over just for a minute. They're just announcements. And then a little bit of a lengthy announcement. All right. So remember, boy, last night we had a good Bible study. And we appreciate y'all coming and prayer meeting. We had the prayer meeting before and then the Bible study. Now, we had some questions left over, several questions left over, and several questions from Ohio that we didn't get answered. They Zoom in. For those of y'all that don't come, they have a Zoom meeting, and they Zoom in, and they're able to interact with us while we're there. Even Sister Frieda, and maybe some of y'all have done the same thing. Sister Johnny, always. But there were several questions, and then now we're skipping a month. But next month, I'd like to do it maybe on another Saturday. The first Saturday of next month, though, is May the 6th, and Brother Lauren Fleeman is getting married, and I'm doing his ceremony at 4 o'clock, so they won't be able to get back here in time enough to have Bible study. So we may have it the next Saturday, or we may even do it on a Wednesday night. Brother Dale used to always do that some too. He'd have questions and answers. We might be able to do that on a Wednesday night too. Some of you don't come on Saturday, you can get here. All right. And as I've always said, you know, if you have a, I'm going to say it one more time. If you have an office in this church, you should be here. If you have an office, if you have an office, you need to be here at Bible study. Because you're a spiritual leader of the church. People look at you when you're not here. Right. I'm telling you. And if you don't want to be, then that's okay. We can find somebody else. But I would appreciate if you would. I mean, come not because I want you to come. Come because you want to listen. You want to learn something. All right? I even learned some things last night, that I had not previously seen before. Just remember, too, that with spring breaks coming up, people are going, as Brother Taylor said, June and Deanna are leaving today, going to Florida. And me and Thomas are leaving, going to Illinois. So we're going in two different directions. Be gone until Wednesday. So we're going to do some work. I'd rather work on the hunting camp than go to the beach anyway. So, hey, praise the Lord, some people say. But Lisa's back there going, no. If the hunting club was at the beach, no, I wouldn't even go there either. Brother Aaron will be preaching for us Wednesday night. All right, on this coming weekend, the 7th, which will be Friday, Good Friday, Brother Dutch Scott will be with us. We start at 7 o'clock. All right, 7 o'clock. All right, the next day on the 8th, it'll be 3 o'clock. We'll have a fellowship meeting. Brother Tom Kershane has already said he's coming. I have not heard from Brother Homer, some of the other ones, Brother Tony, and the different ones that were previously in the fellowship meeting had other things planned during that weekend. But we're going to have a fellowship meeting 3 o'clock. And as June posted on WhatsApp, you need to get with her, our sister Esther, and figure out the food for that day. And Brother Chris Long will be here that Saturday. And then also Sunday, we'll have only one service, and it'll be Easter morning service, regular service, 9:45. That was good Sunday school this morning, wasn't it? Good Sunday school. Always is. Why do we keep saying ever since? It's always a good Sunday school class. Then April the 16th, which will be a few Sundays from now, that's Brother Dale's birthday. He perked up when I said April the 16th. It'll be Brother Dale's 83rd birthday, so we're going to have a party for him after the second service. All right, after second service, we'll have a birthday party for Brother Dale on April the 16th. Be 83 years old. So if you want to give him a gift, that would be wonderful. We'll have cake and ice cream. All right. Also, now remember, on the 30th, April the 30th, last Sunday of this month, Brother Willie Smiley will be here. Now, he is the brother-in-law of Brother Jack Duff that was here a couple weeks ago. And he's a Smiley. He's a big black guy about that tall. So he'll be you and him be able to talk eyeball to eyeball. But he's a big man, and he really appreciated us. I hadn't talked to him in several years, and he really was excited about coming. So he'll be here on April the 30th. After second service today, we'll have communion foot washing. Also, I sent out that WhatsApp about Father's Day, and I didn't get any replies but one. So, fathers, y'all need to think about what we want to do. I did look at that cabin that we used to get in Helen. It is available that weekend of Father's Day. So if you'd like to do that again, we need to discuss that among ourselves and see if we want to do that or go over to the pond like we did last year. So we'll decide on that, but just be thinking about it. Also, I know all of you, we've been working with the group in Ohio for now almost 2 years. They came out of a church that there was some disagreement with doctrine, and most of you know the details, but you don't need to know the details, all of them. They just left the church because of certain things, all right? And then their dad had already left, and he had been watching us online since like 2015, and he's been trying to get them. I mean, the sons are always a little bit hard-headed, except me and Donnie. We can say that, can't we? It's okay. But they were a little bit hard-headed and a little slow. They're not watching in today. They're doing something different today, but yeah, slow too. But they came to watching us online. Now, most of you know the backside of it now that they watch us every service. They send their tithe to us religiously. Huh? Religiously. They send their tithing. They send their offerings and their gifts to us, whatever we need. They're a part of this church. All right, but they don't have a pastor. And they consider us to be the pastor of the group up there of about 14 people. And they have a couple of extra ones that are coming now. So back several months ago, actually when we went up there in July, when all of us went in July, I kind of got all the men together in the church and I told them, I said, look, I said, you guys need a pastor. It's okay to watch online and it's okay to, you know, there's a lot of people doing it in the message, but I don't agree with it. Not for a length of time. Not for a length of time. Temporary, not a problem. But a length of time, you need somebody to look you in the eye. That's why tape ministries and stuff like that, no. No, don't work. Well, the Bible said it wouldn't work. You can't be perfected that way. So you got to have somebody. And Brother Brown tells us that a pastor has to be the shepherd. In other words, he's even got to smell like his sheep. But they know him by his smell because he lives with them. Brother Brown says the pastor lives with his people. All right, so it has to be, even in the absence, you know, Brother Dale, somebody's got to be taking this thing and keep going. All right, because we are sheep, and I need it as much as you need it. We need a head, we need a pastor, we need somebody we can go talk to, somebody that we can relate with, and somebody that on Sunday he gets on you a little bit. About some of the things that's going on, because he does have discernment and he does have part of the fivefold ministry. The pastor kind of covers all those, and we know that, but we don't cover them all in its fullness. That's why we bring people in to evangelists and teachers and different ones. If we can find a prophet, we bring him in. But you've got those different folds that me as being this every Sunday. But you got to have that every Sunday service for your recharging and for somebody to, you know, be with you and nurture you in the Lord. And that's what I kind of wanted to get to that last night in the Bible study about planting seed, but we'll get to it maybe later on. So I told him, I said, you can't consider me or the ministry of this church that can't be your pastor for a length of time. Temporarily, yes. But from where they came out of, there's several churches in Ohio but they all teach the same thing for what they came out of. So they can't pull from the pool of people in another church. Or a pastor didn't come out, or a minister didn't come out and say, well, I don't agree with Brother so-and-so, I'm going to start my own church. They just came out and then so fell in love with the ministry here. And as Brother Isaac, they'll be watching this later on, will tell you, they realized sitting under the ministry of this church. Now, I'm talking about all. Now, they've listened to Brother Dale since 2015. And going on back to Family Matters and all the different series that we've been preaching for since the 2010, I think it was. They're sitting there watching and bringing it up online from the website. So they're not sitting there not doing anything. They're wanting, but they realized they were so far behind that they needed to catch up. And I told them, I said, if you're going to catch up, you're going to have to need somebody to pastor this church. Because I can't do it. I've seen people. There's a brother that does it in Tennessee. And when he gets older, he will not be able to do it. He pastors a church on Saturday, and then he pastors a church on Sunday. That is not the way the Bible's set up. That is not the way Brother Branham set it up. That's not the way, I don't think, God set it up either. All right? Now, if you have to watch online, like that's people like Sister Johnny, Sister Frieda, different ones, that's okay. And we have people streaming right now that can't get to this church. But it's because they can't get to this church. It's not because they want to sit in their slippers and watch online. See, that's easy to do. There's no overcoming. We had to overcome to get here. Amen? We had to overcome to get up this morning to get here. And then what we're going to do, sit here and just listen to me ramble? No, I believe God's give you something to listen to and something to take into your heart and then what? Live it. Go out the door. We've always said that. Greatest gift we can give Brother Dale. We can put his picture on the wall. We can put his picture on your wall. We can give him cars and boats and planes. Plane. That's one thing we haven't got. Plane. But listen, we can give him all that, and that's fine, and that makes life happy, and that makes everything good and cozy. But he'd rather see you live it.
Amen.
And for you to be come to that headship where no one else will come to, he wants to preach you to that. And then he can sit back and look at it and say, I have done my job. As Paul said, I've done my job. I've run my race. There's before me a crown of life. And to me, that's why, and I was listening to Brother Donnie this morning, just for a little while, Brother Donnie Reagan. And he was preaching on basically the same thing. But he said that a successful pastor is not somebody that can tickle your feelings. It's not somebody that can make you feel good or cozy and warm. It's a pastor that can get you born again. Bottom line, it's a pastor that can get you born again. And Brother Dale started with 12. Then we've had other people come in, you know, other ministers and different ones, but not a pastor. So we can see this is the fruit of what has been preached, as we were trying to get to the seed last night, because the seed is the word. It's the word being sown, all right? Not a sperm or a little seed, some little dot floating around in your body somewhere. But he's preached the word of God, and Christians have been come from that. As a testimony, I'll tell you this, and it's going to surprise Mom and Dad. We were sitting yesterday at a cafe. I sat with them old men, and then when I get up, they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to work so you don't have to. And they say, just keep going so I can get my check. But we were sitting there talking about, my cousin Terry was talking about how long our church had been. Because the Methodist church is fixing to just split wide open. There's going to be some church buildings available. Because some people said they're quitting the Methodists. They're going to dissolve a certain part of it. And Dad's brother, Marshall, is one of the ministers that's very prominent in this area. Everybody knows Marshall Dale. And he's been here before. So we were talking about churches, and Terry pops up, and he says, well, Brother Dale, he said Samuel, which is his uncle, said he did it right. Said he just bought the church to begin with. Said he don't have to see, throw everybody out, and he can keep it himself. I said, well, that don't work that way. He said, I know. He said, I drove by the other day, and he said, your parking lot was so full. And he said, I like that. So he said, well, when did the church get established? I said, well, 1971. And my other cousin, Roy Turpin, was sitting over there across from me. And he popped up and he said, no, it wasn't. And I thought, how do you know? You weren't here. He said, no. He said, that church started at General Motors. because he worked at GM with that. He said that church started at General Motors. Said he was preaching to a group of people. Some of them's already passed on, but Brother Colley's a recipient of it. Brother Dick, Brother Al, Brother Dean, different ones. Brother Tom. They all worked at GM, so he popped up and said, no, it didn't start in 1971. He said it started when he started preaching. They'd have 30-minute lunch, and they would have church meeting. I don't know if they eat or not. It didn't matter. They didn't worry about it. But Brother Dale then gathered a group together, and then they just brought them up here. So it was good to know that the testimony of a man that never stepped foot in this church, which was Roy, he's a Methodist. But he knew one thing's for sure, that Brother Dale had started the church before he started this one. He started it down at General Motors and just brought it here. So that's a good, that to me, that's a testimony of the longevity too of, like, as Brother Donnie said, a real pastor stays with the people, helps them grow. And they grow in numbers, but I want to grow in stature, not statue, stature. All right. To where we can be a powerhouse for God. And that's why we've been talking for now 98 sermons on this. So let me get to the what I want to tell you. There was no one that was, I wasn't going, and Bob and them's not going. It'd be hard to move to Ohio. So from July till yesterday, I've been working with them and working on getting this rectified or getting a solution to their issue. Try to get them to cut the cord, if you might say. And not so much cut the cord and we never hear from them or see them again. But they elected a pastor yesterday. And it was Brother Isaac Negron. Amen. Now, he's been... See, we've been trying to keep this a little bit under wraps. People, yak. I hate that. Can't we just get behind him? Can't we just get behind him? Just get behind him. Forget about all this other junk. All this yak. But he has been speaking for several months, since January, actually, on like a three-month basis. And I've been listening in and kind of nurturing him up. And then the whole church agreed that they needed a pastor and that he could fulfill that without... having us be every service they have to watch in. All right, so they named the church a long time ago, but it's a Lighthouse of Refuge in Lorain, Ohio. So that's what they're going under now, Lighthouse of Refuge. I think Brother Aaron did them a plaque. So we've been kind of working toward that. I know some of you may not agree with what we were doing, but you know what? I'm not going to ever leave anybody behind. Never will I put somebody in a boat and shove them out. I'm glad God didn't put you in a boat and shove you out in the water and said, fend for yourself. Help. We're here to help the body. We're here to help the body, not cut the parts off. All right? So we're just going to pray for Brother Isaac, and I'm going to go up probably in 3 or 4 weeks and speak with them. And they've already got the church set up. They set it up just like ours. They've been paying tithe here, so now the tithe will be going to the ministry there at Lighthouse of Refuge, and Brother Isaac will be the pastor there. So they're still going to stream in. Listen, those guys, let me tell you what they do. On Sunday morning, they watch us. Now, not today, but they watch us online Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, they stream us in, and then they go and go to the archive sermons and pull up another one. So they're like 3 and 4 sermons a day. Wednesday night, they stream, and then they go home and listen to a service. Whatever, like Brother Dale preaching on, I can't remember the one, but the seals and the different things. They listen extra, so they know they're not dilatory. They're not people that I don't trust. I trust them, so I trust their decision. Because, listen, I'm like what Brother Brown said. The pastor's only got one vote. Sure, he's the final say. Sure, he's the headship of the church, but he's just got one vote. Amen. You have the vote. You are the ones that put people in and take people out. Not one person except the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So they voted him in yesterday, and I appreciate them, and I love them with the love of the Lord. So let's stand to our feet. We'll get started. I just want to let you know because, you know, send them some attaboys and send them some, you know, I don't believe in luck, but send them some prayers. Send them some blessings and say, we're behind you. We're with you. They're, like I said, they're still going to stream in, I think on Wednesday night. Now they're going to stream us in to keep going so Isaac doesn't have to preach so much, 3 or 4 times. I don't see how in the world Brother Dale did it. Amen. Just getting 2 services on Sunday is killing me. And he got 2 services on Sunday, 1 on Wednesday, had no backup, no help. He had to lead singing, and he worked 40-something hours at General Motors and drove 1.5 hours down and 1.5 hours back. So praise God. Rest. Rest. For a little while. Let some of us young folk do something. But they're going to stream in. They're always going to be a Bible study, so we haven't wasted our money to Zoom. They're still going to be with the Bible study with us. And like I said, stream in on Wednesday, and then they will be watching online, but not live, because today is the first day that Brother Isaac is speaking to the people there at in Lorraine. So we appreciate the Lord. We appreciate what he's done for us. We appreciate that we've had a pastor for 50 years. We hadn't had to go look for one. Amen. So we've been blessed. We've been blessed. We all have been blessed. And I hope that goes in a testimony somewhere today. If y'all know what I mean. That do know what I mean? Lord bless you, Sister Barbara. Good to have you with us today. So y'all know where we're going with that. All right, so we're going to speak today just for a minute, and then we will try to maybe get the bulk of it this afternoon. So let's bow our heads.
I have a question, please.
Yes, ma'am.
So are you going to keep them for a while until, or just he's out of the nest? As of today,
I ain't getting it.
Are you working with him going forward?
Yes, I'll still be working with him.
Personally, one-on-one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like 30 minutes this morning on the phone. Yeah, before I got here. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, they're babies. And like I said, the cord's been cut, but you still, once you cut the cord, you still got to feed the young'un. Right? You still got to diaper him, and you got to put the, you know, you got to put the... He can't find his own food, so you got to feed him a little bit. So, no, that we will not cut him off at all. It's just that the importance of them having a pastor has been taken away from this church and had been placed on them to take care of some of their issues and things that they have, because we all have issues. We all have things, and really pray for him because it's family. All right, so just keep him in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the people that we have here. The purchase of your blood, Lord. And I thank you, Father, is today that the Lighthouse of Refuge starts, as we were talking last night, a new administration. It's starting a new chapter. Lord, I pray that you would anoint our brother, Lord, the song leader, and anoint the ones, Lord, that are playing instruments. Anoint Brother Isaac, Lord, to bring the message to the people. And may Satan not have any hold or be able to get his claws. You know he's going to try. Lord, I pray that you'll protect him, Lord. As a baby, put your arms around him, Lord, and wrap him in your love. Father, just be with us. And same thing here. Wrap us in your love, Lord. Let us not have malice and strife. And, Lord, getting into godliness and brotherly kindness, we're going to cover that, Lord, that the sweetness of the Holy Spirit should always trump anything that's going on. And I pray that you'll be with us, Lord, in furtherment of this service. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here. Be with the ones that are watching in, Lord, that can't get here. I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to get through whatever they're getting through and they can come back to service, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one that's leaving. I know Brother Ryan and them different ones are gone. Be with them, Lord, as they travel back today. Be with us as we travel. Many people on spring break and vacations. I pray that you'd just be with us and bring us back together in you. Be with Brother Aaron on Wednesday night, Lord, as he brings the message. And Lord, bless this coming weekend, Lord. Lord, we honor the resurrection every Sunday, but this is a special time, a time that we're going to listen to your servants of God. Speak to us about you, Lord. I pray this would be with Brother Chris and Brother Dutch. Give them travel mercies to get here and back home. And ever be with us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I want you to just pray for them. Pray for the people. Pray for each one. They've already established. They've got deacons. They've got trustees. They used our same charter. And so they're just kind of filling in those parts. And so they have everything pretty much set up already. We've been working on that. It's not just something we called yesterday and said, this is what we need to do. We've been working since July. So, and I didn't want to burden any of you with it, and I didn't want to hear your anything about it. I just want to hear positive things. Amen. They're a body. They're a bride. Listen, I wish we had that zeal. All of us had the same zeal to listen to three or four tapes a day, to know that we're a little bit behind and we got to catch up and not miss a service. All right? And they've been working on, Sister Melissa's been taking piano lessons. So they're working toward, you know, having a service where they've got instruments. And some of you that's watched them, they've got plenty of instruments to play with. They just didn't have a piano player. So Sister Melissa took it upon herself to take piano lessons. So they're buying her a piano, small, like we got the clavinova downstairs. And they're buying her a small piano, and she's learning how to play. And then this afternoon, they're going to all practice songs. So they're not just sitting up there on their heels. They are doing something for God. So we're just going to put our shoulder to the wheel with them, and we're going to ask the Lord to anoint them as a church. All right? So this is part 98. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance patience, and patience godliness. And we'll try to get to godliness this afternoon. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy. We're going to look at that because it says, without controversy. No argument. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory. And I'm not adding to the word. I'm going back to John 1:1. That word became flesh again in a group of people. Amen. You may be seeing the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word. And we know that God had a plan and a purpose. And let me read what Making a Way, Brother Brown talks here in 1956. He said, Jesus died for one purpose, and that was to save those who God foreknew would be saved. We kind of went through that a little bit in Bible study last night. And the good thing about Bible study is you can broaden, for 2 hours, you can broaden the subject. Instead of just me trying to hit foreknowledge just for a few seconds, if you'd have been here last night, I wouldn't have to cover this again. Because we cover, don't we, Donnie? We cover I'm going to preach on the next day, or even Bob in his Sunday school class, different ones. So, and you know what? To me, that's the Lord, because we don't get together like a school. And all the instructors get together and we say, well, now we're all going to preach on this right here. No, we don't do that. We don't discuss that. All right? We let the Lord do it for us, and He brings everything together and makes it perfect. And that was to save those who God foreknew would be saved. Now remember, He would not that people be lost. He would that all be saved and come to the glory of the Lord. But He knew that there's some people that, as I've said many times before, the way to understand foreknowledge is to know that God knew it. Even if He gave Hitler 1,000,000 years, if He let him live, let's just say 10,000 years, He never would come to repentance, because God could see that. Remember, He's infinite. He can see all the way past what we can see. So He could see that some, as we were talking last night, some come to a justified state and a sanctified state, and God knew they couldn't go any further. So maybe He'd take them off the scene so they don't have to go through the tribulation. We were discussing this morning, or last night, Brother George, that we talk about people that we've been around all of our life, and all of a sudden they fall over dead. Or we've got a family member that's just good Christian person, and they die. And we're so sorrowful. But we ought to look at it a different way. God has pretty much preserved them in the state they were in. put them in a grave, put their soul in another dimension, and they ain't got to worry about tribulation, period. They don't have to worry about any of that. They just got to worry about coming up at the white throne judgment. And if they're good to the bride, they'll be given eternal life. Everybody with me with that? To me, that's a glorious thing about grace. Grace is not only just to the bride. It's not just only to Christians. It's to people that are around you that God knows he's going to give eternal life to, that we don't. But he does. And he is so sovereign that he can take somebody out of the way. So he let Adolf Hitler live his life and then take his own life, as they say, knowing that even if Adolf Hitler would have been given another 10 years, another 20 years, he would have never changed from what he was. See, to me, that's the providence of God by foreknowledge, not putting him in a tube and pulling him through it. Everybody with me on that? God did not do that with anybody. He did not put them in a tube and make them a robot and say, well, this is the way it's going to be. No, he saw your choice. To me, that's the simplest thing. He saw your choice. Because we choose. I was telling him last night, listen, even when we get in the millennium, even when we get in the future home, we still got to make a choice. Do I want to go out of the city or do I want to stay here? Do I want to eat that fruit or do I not want to eat that fruit? Do I want to go visit Brother Darty? Well, it's 2,000 miles to Brother Darty's house. I'll be there in about that right there. So it doesn't matter. That's right. God knew there was going to be somebody saved, and there had to be a preparation. Now, what is a preparation? That's a plan. Or, as we've said before, a plan is a method of achieving an end. So God is, as Brother Branham tells us, that God has a threefold purpose. We go back in the back part of God's mind, and we see that God had a plan and a purpose. Well, what was that plan and a purpose? To get us back to heaven.
Amen.
To get us back to the Garden of Eden, because remember, all God was, he poured into Christ, poured it in the church. Took her back to the Garden of Eden. He didn't leave her.
Right.
Listen, he's not leaving us down here. He's
That's
taking right. somebody home.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
And there had to be a preparation or a way made for them to be saved. If there wasn't, salvation wasn't possible. If God foreknew that people would be saved, knowing who they were, he had to lay a plan down.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that maybe this afternoon if we get to it. Election. You have to bring election in. All right. Same way with today. Today you may be born again, but still under election. You got to decide whether you want to climb this Jacob's ladder.
Amen.
Or just stay the way you are. You choose that. You know what the preaching does? The preaching just, what Brother Bram say, open the scales of your eyes so you see what God's already done. Not what God's coming up, what God's already done. And then you make your choice from that. You're still making, you're making a choice right now. Everybody's making choices. Why does he say he's not willing that any should perish? He isn't. He isn't willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. But in order to be God, he has to know who will and who won't, or he wasn't God. Because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. He's at every place and all powerful. So foreknowledge looks back and says that he foresaw this, and knows that's the reason he could tell what the end was from the beginning. And therefore, knowing all these marvelous days that we're living in now, listen, knowing that even people like Paul and the different ones that were in the first church age, they come to a conclusion or come to a revelation that God was not going to come right then. Now, they preached, and it's in the Bible, talks about to the coming of the Lord. But Brother Branham tells us that Paul was trying to get the Corinthians and them to realize God wasn't coming in their generation. God had a work to do through seven church ages, and there John stood in that first church age, John the Revelator, and watched the church ages unfold. So he knew that God wasn't coming during his lifetime. But now you and me, come on somebody, you and me don't have that.
That's
not our conclusion. That's not our administration. Our administration has changed. Our administration says we're not going by the grave. Somebody is going to go up, not down. You know what? You got to decide whether it's you or not. So God made a preparation before the foundation of the world. That he had this plan, and the plan's perfect. And as we were talking last night, somebody had asked, the question was, when you start your Christian journey, what happens to this group that dies before the change? what happens to these people that have changed the body and what happened to the foolish virgin. So we got the little chart out that we've done, and I think Joe's got some pictures of it, if you want it. I know it's online. Of the journey of a Christian. A journey of, actually, it's a journey of everybody. It's the whole plan of redemption, telling where we go. But the people in the end time, let's hone in on that. The people in the end time today, we have a mandate, or our administration tells us that somebody has got to come to a body change. So it's not going to be, though, that there's an X on the calendar, and when we get to that day, somebody's going to be changed. All that's left alive is going to be changed. That's not the way God does things. Amen. That's not the way he put his plan together. He put his plan together to send us a prophet in the end time. To put the word of God together. And then he had big nuggets, and we break it down into little nuggets. And then you take it and you eat the book. All right? And when you eat the book, you realize that we have to have these virtues. Listen, one more time. We say, well, this was just for the end time. No, it's not. From right here down was in the first church age. Yes. They had these virtues working in their life. Listen, working in their churches. When we get to brotherly kindness, that's where you're going to feel it. Bible says they had all things common. They brought everything they owned in and distributed it out evenly to everybody. Get ready for your pension. Bring in pensions in, Brother Collie. Brother Michael don't have no pension yet. You got to share it with him. Brother Collie said, all right. He'd be the only one in the whole building to say, all right. But that's brotherly kindness. And you know, two people got in trouble and died because they didn't show brotherly kindness. For those of you that didn't, amen, I'll tell you who it was. Ananias and Sapphira. They owned pieces of properties. Oh, yeah, here's my property. Here's my property. But there was one piece of property they kept in their pocket. Right? And the Holy Ghost discerned that, and they died because of it. All right? Just telling you, that's what Brother Brown talks about in Brotherly Kindness. Read that. Now, God comes down in the cool of the day. Now, look, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. We're going to fly through this. It's the Father again, God the Father, dwelling in you. Look, working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption. Working what? Through you, making you a co-worker. So we got to be, where, as we were talking about vulcanization, we've got to be vulcanized to what we're talking about right now. Amen. All right? Are you going to get left behind? There is a movie called Left Behind. It's going on right now. But your left behind is going to be worse than their left behind. Because you know too much. You can't be a foolish virgin sitting in this church. I promise you that. Giving you a place. Giving you a part of your fallen lost brother and sister. Giving you his spirit and his love to go hunt the lost. As he did in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Adam, where art thou? That's what the Holy Spirit does to a man or a woman. When it strikes into their heart and takes abode, there's a thirst and a hungering for lost souls. That's what the matter with the meetings today. There's not enough spirit touching it to go for the souls of the lost and the dying. It's more like making a name or a church or a building or a denomination instead of a soul-winning program. How pitiful. I'm just reading what Brother Ram said. Now, Brother Ram said in Christ the Mission Guard Reveal, said, look, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and going to achieve. Now, he saw the picture unfold. He saw the plan unfold. Because it was in his mind. Can't change.
That's right.
Can't change. He knows who did and who did. Who would, who wouldn't. But we don't.
That's right.
That's why they asked Brother Brown. I said, well, Brother Brown, if God knows everything, why are you preaching? He said, I throw the net out. He said, I get frogs, lizards, and I get fish every once in a while. All right? So that doesn't do away with ministry. It makes it more important. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something he was trying and going to achieve. And look, he had a motive. In doing it. Brother Brown said, check your motive and objective. God's motive and objective was to get us out of this condition that we're in right now.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Get us out of this condition that we're in right now.
Absolutely.
Why do we want to stay in this condition?
Right.
In order to what? Let himself be expressed. Through what? Stars, moon? No, you.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody with me?
Amen.
So in his great mind, he wanted this. Now, if it stayed in his mind, he wasn't God.
That's
If it stayed in his mind, he wasn't God. But he had to let it loose because you and I were in there. The bride was in there. Even the foolish virgin. Even the people that are given a cup of water. They were in his mind. But as we were, me and Brother Joe Canada were talking about, the sections of a book. There's a Lamb's Book of Life, and then there's an eternal section. You can be taken out of one, but you can't be taken out of the other. Judas was taken out of one, but once you're put in the eternal section, Revelation 13:8, you can't lose.
Amen.
And there's not a book and an angel up there erasing your name. It's just telling where you and I can understand what's going on. When we get to the white throne judgment and we judge others, we're not going to have a book right here and it just go, well, no, you know what? You'll know. If you miss it, you'll know why you missed it. You'll know why you're standing right here and not standing right here. Get quiet on me. That's okay. You'll know. God will not have to tell you why you didn't make it. You will know why you didn't make it. Brother Brown said there'd be a still small voice tell you you missed it. Wow. Wow. Let's continue on. Let's skip that. We know about deep call to the deep. There's got to be something that wants. There's something desirous of man about wanting to be more like God. It's just that we do it with, as Bob said, we take our passion and we put it on this, that, or the other instead of God. We all have a thirst for a being. That's like, I want to talk to this. Y'all, I know some of you are not from here, but there was an atheist went to the meeting at the Lula City Council right up here. Well, I know the mayor. He's a nominal Christian man. He works for the post office too. But he wouldn't allow, he said a prayer, and he wouldn't allow the atheist to say a prayer. I said, why are atheists even praying? What are they praying to? An atheist don't believe in a superior being. I thought, if I was there, that's what I got to go, okay, buddy, who you praying to? Let me know who you praying to. Because you have just become an unatheist. If you have a being that you pray to, you have, because an atheist doesn't believe in no God, they actually believe that they are the higher intelligent, higher power. I'd really like to talk to them about that. But that's just the way the world is. And they still having issues with it up there. Genesis 5 verse 22 says, Enoch walked with God after he got Methuselah. I want y'all to understand something too. There was a question yesterday or last night after the Bible study about the moment of silence. Now we got to remember when we keep our types correctly. Enoch typed who? The bride. Noah typed what? Foolish virgin. Right? They had to go over the tribulation, all right, and then come out. Enoch walked with God and left. So all that that connects with the seven seals and all the different things, that connects with Enoch. That does not connect with Noah. So you can't type them together. You got to type them separate. Because people say, oh yeah, we got in the safety of the ark and Noah. No, Noah typed the foolish virgin. Enoch typed the bride. All right, so let's keep everything straight. But Enoch walked with God. There is nothing we know about Enoch except he walked. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. What are you saying? Walk with God. And as I was saying last night, when we get to the patience in just a few minutes, patience is not you sitting on your hiney waiting on God to bring you something. With your shoes on, your slippers on, and you got your feet propped up in your house. Well, bro, wait. And the Bible says for us to be patient. Paul says, run with patience this race. Has anybody ever seen a race where everybody's sitting on a couch? I've seen them idiots try to get on the couch and put wheels on it and race it down the road. I said idiots. Sorry about that. But that would be if you put wheels on a couch. So these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So God's power to transform. Watch what Brother Branham says. This is a new one I put in here. We were talking about last night. Here we go back to. I'm sorry that I'm referring to last night, but there was so much within that 2 hours that I'm covering today that that it would have helped you if you'd have been here. We were talking about a corn plant coming up, and we have maypops. Everybody know what a maypop is? I know some of us older ones know because we used to throw them at each other. And they would pop. That's why they're called maypops. They grow on a vine. They have this real pretty flower, but they will literally pull your corn to the ground because they have runners. But that little thing about that big around that's caught this, the little fruit on it, Brother John, I don't know if you're, ever, you're not old enough, but me and Terrence and different ones, we'd have fights with them because you'd throw them at each other and they'd hit it and it'd pop because it'd open up. It'd pop. That's why they called them maypops. And they bloom in May. And it's a vine. So Brother Brown knows this. He calls them creepers. For if you didn't get those creepers out where the corn was in the row like this, then the creeper would reach over, grab a hold of that corn, and wrap itself around gradually. What are you saying, Brother Wade? Remember what we were trying to get into last night. There's a seed that comes up. It germinates, comes up out of the ground, and then it gets choked out. Because you stop walking. You don't get these creepers out. I like what it's called, creepers. Who wants a creep in their life? No. Grab a hold of that corn and wrap it around gradually, so easy, so sly, that you'd hardly tell it was wrapped. And finally, it gets stronger and stronger, and it pulls that corn till it's deformed. Listen to what he's talking about. Pulls it against itself, wraps it around its own vine, deforming it from what it was. Now remember, it was corn. It's still corn, but it's now deformed corn. From what it was to something else. Yet it's corn, but it's deformed corn. And we are, look, and we are still in the image of God. But some are so deformed as sons of God. That ought to hit you right between the eyes. My, it did me when I read that. He's talking about sons of God. He's not talking about somebody off the street, drunk. He's talking about sons of God. Sons of God get caught in that. Look, that walk contrary to his word. And to the way that he had us and provided for us to walk. What? The plan. Just letting something, the world, twist us out of the way, pull us close to it, and away from that straight, narrow strip that he planted us in. To be sons and daughters of God, sin has done this evil thing to the sons and daughters of God. Now that ought to make you shiver in your liver, as we were talking about last night. Shiver in your liver, because you know what? That talk about sons and daughters of God, me and you. We can get the life choked out of us if we don't go up this statue of perfect man. You can be a stumped Christian. Who wants that? Just get in the plan, folks. It's just so simple to get in the plan. Do what the Word of God said. That's what we've been trying. Brother Dale's been trying. Brother Bob, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, myself. We've been trying to tell you what the Word of God says. And if you don't do it, it's your fault. All right? You've never heard a preacher stand behind this pulpit and say, "Now, I know the Bible says, but you really don't have to do that." Right? Never have you heard that. So whose fault is it? If you interpret that in your little brain, yeah, creepers. Creepers. Creep in. And take that good-looking big old corn plant and pull that thing over and be totally deformed, but yet still be a son and daughter of God. Wow. You're quiet. All right, let's go temperance. Temperance. Now look, how to answer in kindness when wrath is spoken. Let's continue through that. Let's go to patience. That's where we got to get through here in just a second. In the New Testament, remember the word patience is not in the Old Testament. The literal word patience starts in the New Testament. All right, so the Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. All right? So in the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose. What? Gets in the plan of God, which never swerves. It's never pulled down by a creeper. You allow it to be pulled down by a creeper. I allow it to be pulled down by a creeper. What is a creeper? Your own ideas and my own ideas. Contrary to the Word of God. And his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest, look, trials and sufferings, patiently and steadfast. Steadfast waiting for. Remember, Simeon was 80-something years old. It's not recorded where God spoke to him, but the Lord spoke to him and said, you'll not die till you see the Lord's Christ. You'll not die. When are we going to realize that? That God spoke to us. We'll not die till the dead come out of the ground. Death will be destroyed in a group of people.
Yes.
Hebrews 6 verse 10 said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now continue, listen. And we desire that every one of you do show the same, what? Diligence. To the full assurance of hope, what? Unto the end.
Yes.
Now remember what Brother Dale's always preached, the seventh seal. Brother Bram said it was the end of all things. It's not the end like things are going to be done away with. You can't end God. But you can end an administration. You can end a testament. We're going to read it tonight. Or this afternoon when we take communion. It, one testament was done away with and a new testament came into place. The Old Testament was bulls and goats. The New Testament was the blood of a man.
Amen.
Blood of God. All right, so we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful. Come on. Why do we come to church? To sleep? I've never come to church, and I know it's hard sometimes. But I'm going to tell you one more time, you have never fell asleep at a doctor's office. He might have put you to sleep. Maybe that's what I'm doing. Praise the Lord anyhow. To me, this is life. To me, this is this should supercharge instead of we're just listening. And a lot of you, that's all you're doing. You just listen. You just come to listen. And you don't do a lot of that. But ye be not slothful. You ever seen somebody that I didn't... Daddy and Terrence were talking one time, and this guy, we've got some, and you've got some, we all know some. You know, his britches is 3 sizes too big, his shoes are 12 sizes too big, he just, nothing fits, everything's just slouchy and sloppy, and they walk like this. Got hair all the way down to here, that's slothful. And they were discussing somebody the other day, you know, years and years ago, and on the testimonies that we should be doing, the greatest testimony is that I had a father that wasn't that image. I had a father that was that image. He was that image. He was upright. He was a Christian or not, he was a better man than most men just by being who they are, instead of being slothful. So if he would have been that way, though, poor Terrence would look just like, he'd have looked like Ted Nugent back in the 70s. Praise the Lord. If you don't know who that is, Google it. Luis will tell you maybe in a couple of weeks. He's still alive. Y'all know that? His hair's short. He's a deer hunter. That's why I know him. Uncle Ted. But that's how we grew up. We grew up dressing good, being clean, going to church on Sunday, not being slothful, not having to get my daddy up. I know friends of ours, we'd have to go to their house and get their daddy out of the bed because he's drunk. Never had to do that. And I know if some of you did, you'd rise up above that. But what I'm saying is, be not slothful. The Bible tells us not to be slothful. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he lifted his hand and he said, I'll do it. I'll do it. Adam, I wanted you to do it. You can't do it. I wanted you to. Can't do it. I'll do it. I'll bring this thing to pass. In other words, I'll make this plan so perfect you can't get out of it. It's going to perfect the people. We'll talk about that last night. Tonight. How are we going to have white robes? How are we going to get blameless? How are we going to get perfect? There's therefore now no condemnation. Some of you are condemned now because of what I've said. Because you ain't living the right life. But there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not out. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Paul. Paul's the one that wrote it. Because you know what? He was looking at what was going on in the church. Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, they were all churches and people in the church. And that's what he was addressing. But you know what? That same spirit didn't die. It just came over here into the second church age, third church age, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Amen. All right? James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Amen. Joy! When you fall into many temptations.
Yes.
Joy!
Hey.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We got to start realizing the Bible's already got all the words we need. It's got everything in there exactly the way it's placed and not changeable. It is unchanging. This Bible is unchanging. When it was written 1,500 years ago in print form, it hasn't changed one word. I want to put my faith in that. Not in the shifting sands of man's ideas. He said, now you're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Work, 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 work. And why don't you get work on the new birth first? Get born again. Get born again. Then you can start working on these other things. Right? Seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. And then all these other things will come to pass. We find those things happening. Now there's the trouble. You know it. I know it. Now, Brother Brown, where is it? There's the trouble. We want to do what? We think that we can work our way into heaven. We think we can tithe our way into heaven. No, tithing is just you get a blessing if you tithe. All right. So many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now there's the trouble. We find these things happening. You know it. I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heap of ministers, of Christians, piled up along the road is because they didn't go into it right. In other words, they didn't go by the plan of God.
Amen.
And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many would like to be that? Raise your hand and say amen.
Amen.
You know why? You know why some of you didn't raise your hand? Because you're scared of it. You're scared of it. You better not be. You're right. But you're scared to be the dwelling place of the living God. Don't be scared. If you're scared, that means the devil's there. And then the Bible says, flee from him, resist him, and flee from him. And say, Lord, come on in. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. That long word long-suffering right here is bear long. Have patience. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We read that not too long ago. That's what God wanted. He wants everybody to repent. Greek lexicon says, bear long, suffer long, to be long-suffering. That's what long-suffering means. Patiently endure. We're going to look at that word endure in just a little bit. To be of a long spirit, not to lose heart.
Amen.
To persevere patiently and bravely in enduring what? What? Misfortune and trouble. Yeah. That's your two friends. If you're a human. To be patient and look. Now, can you do this? To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. Remember Brother Brown said one time, he said, if I was God, I'd tell you one time. If you didn't believe it, gone. But God's long-suffering. 120 years. He waited for 7 billion people to receive Noah's message. And knew when he started, he was only going to get 8. Children of Israel, 2 million come out. He knew by the time they got in, the original would be 2. Yet he babied them the whole way. Same way with me and you. To be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others. To be mild and slow to punishment. James 5 verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brother, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, which is the bridegroom, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, who's the precious fruit of the earth? We are.
Amen.
We're it. That's us. We are the precious fruit of the earth. He's not worried about apples and oranges and pears. He's worried about me and you. And hath long patience for it until receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. More now than then. And Brother Bram says, fourthly, add patience to your faith. If you got faith, it works patience. The Bible said, so this is patience. Now that's the next thing on building this stature. God's got real material in his building. And how short we are, brother and sister. See why we're where we're at. Yes, sir, we have glory, shouts, because we got faith. But when we come down to these things here, God can't build us into that stature. He can't. He can't make us up to that kind of a place. We got all other things. These other things, we fall, slide off. We can't build his church. He can't build his church. The prophet of God says, virtue must be in us. Amen. Until we get virtue. I've read this many times. We'll read it because sometimes it stumps you. You say, well, faith is just it. Faith is all I got to have. No, it's not. Paul says, I can have all faith, know all mysteries, yet have not charity. Amen. I am a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Right. Then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. Now, first you must have faith, but faith alone won't do it. El Shaddai, 1960, Brother Brown said, then Abraham, we find out, didn't obey God just right. He didn't. Abraham said, get up and leave. He got up and left, but he took Lot with him. Amen. He wasn't told to do that. See, but now in Abraham's heart, he's like, well, this is the thing I ought to do. No, it wasn't the thing he ought to do. It was a thorn in his side the whole time. Now he made ready and had faith in the promise. But see, we can still have faith in the promise and then not obey it. Let me read that one more time. I put it in big letters for all of us to see it. Now he made ready and had faith in the promise. This is Abraham. But see, we can still have faith in the promise and then not obey. Still, it'll hinder us. Wow. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe I should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, no matter how much you believe, you've got to obey that commission. Just faith alone won't work. Because faith without works is dead. That's right. Just like the borderline believers. Got people today, you find in the Bible, said, for it's impossible for those which are enlightened and made partakers of the Holy Ghost to fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and count the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite to the works of grace. Now in Hebrews 10, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And those people, you've seen them come to church. We was talking about this last night. They'll come and they'll say, oh, yes, I believe. Yeah, I got you, Brother Dale. I'm with you. I'm with you, Brother Wade. I'm with you all. I'm with you. 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 Yeah, I'm with you. But they believe it, but they'll never lay their hands to it to turn one wheel to help it go on. Actually, we become hindrances.
Amen.
You can amen if you want to. I'll amen it. Because we become hindrances. You going to blame it on God? Thank you. You going to blame it on the devil? Maybe a little. But Let's blame it on ourselves. Like Caleb and Joshua came back with the evidence they'd been over in the promised land. Now those other believers, he shouldn't mean unbelievers, they said, oh, it's great, but we can't do it. But they hung along just the same. Remember those 10 spies that said, we can't make it? And then the two that said we could, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't separate. Joshua and Caleb stayed right there with them for 40 years. Stayed with them, and they walked like this and was right there at the promised land, and they just kept walking like this. But look, they never got to enter the promised land except for those two. Just those who come back with faith that we could. And then he talks about the Amorites and all that. Well, now, God just didn't go over there and take a broom and sweep out Canaan and all the Amorites, Hittites and all them, and sweep them out. Say, come on in, Israel. This is yours. We've even planted crops for you. No, sir. They had to fight for every inch of ground. In other words, they had to fight their way in. They had to fight their way to stay there. But they had the promise of victory. How many? We've got to have that promise of victory.
Amen.
If you're so beat down, try. Please try to say, I have the victory.
Amen.
Somewhere, it might be a little one.
Yes.
Battle ain't going to be won in one day.
Right.
A war. Look, footprints means possession.
Amen.
Every time the soles of your feet touch, that's it. Take that much ground. In other words, a little bit more. Let's do this and then we'll close. Brother Brown said, patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is have patience with who? Not your neighbor, not your brother, not your pastor, not your friend. Patience with God.
Right.
If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it, that's all. You got patience. You say, well, I asked him last night, and I'm just as sick this morning. Oh, my. What patience? In other words, what are you working on? It's what we were talking about last night. Somebody asked a question, what's the difference in divine healing and the difference in a miracle? A divine healing takes patience.
Right.
A miracle is something that a cancer falls off, or like the picture that Sister Frieda sent us, one picture of this lady just eat up with cancer, black spots all over. She was prayed for. Next time she went to have her x-ray done, nothing there.
Right.
All right? But now divine healing takes a while.
Amen.
It tries your faith.
Amen.
Well, I ain't no bet. Have patience.
Amen.
What if Noah, 10 years into his tenure as the pastor of whatever city he was in, they tell him every day, Noah, there ain't no rain.
Right.
And there wasn't. Remember, the Bible says the ground, it come up from the ground. The mist came up. In other words, the aqueducts and the viaducts was pushing water up out of the ground. There wasn't any reason for rain.
Right.
So he was preaching something totally away from science and totally away from anybody's perspective.
Right.
I'll promise you, before Noah started preaching and during the time he started preaching, nobody sold an umbrella. Right, Brother Colley? Umbrellas got created after the flood because they didn't need them before. So that made it even more, like I'm telling you today, and some of you look at me cross-eyed. Somebody is not going to die.
Amen.
Somebody's going to not need that umbrella. Somebody's going to get out of here before all that. Enoch didn't need one. He walked with God and he was not because God took him. But Noah had patience. If he didn't come today, it'll come tomorrow. What if 10 years into this, Brother Dale would have said, well, I ain't dealing with these bunch of rebels no more. Where would we have been? That would have been 1981. Some of y'all wasn't even born. What if he had said, "Fooey, I'm done with it. Close church. Get out of here. Finished. Don't want no more of this. Bunch of rebels." No, he persevered.
Amen.
He had patience.
Right.
Knowing that what? God would end his promise. The end of the promise is us going in the rapture. All right? Come on, musicians. Why? God said so. And Brother Luis was preaching several Wednesdays ago. When did he tell you that, Noah? 120 years ago. Noah, how's your revelation? That's a little over 100 years old. And we want fresh revelation every day. We want something to spark. Listen, We need to hang on to what God's already got for us. What God's already given us. We need to hang on to it. We find God come this far waiting for the church too. But it'll be there. Don't you worry. He promised it. Let's stand to our feet. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Trouble of it is, we're people, we're in too much of a hurry. It's just got to be done right now. Can't come back no more, see? And when you get that in your mind, you're going to lose right there. When you get that in your mind, you're going to lose right there. You're on losing ground right there. You have nothing to stand on. You must be patient. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's what I said. God's in no hurry. He let the Hebrew children get so close till they had to start feeling the heat because it killed the people that was beside them. That's how hot it was. But you know what their testimony was? We're not bowing to what you told us to bow to. Satan, we're not doing what you told us that we're supposed to do, or the government's got for us, or this got for us, and that's got for us. We're not doing that. Well, you're going to die. Well, if I die, I'm going to die happy. I'm going to die in the Lord. But guess what happened? It burned everybody else up but them. It singed the ropes off of their hand. And when they come out, they didn't smell like they was even in a fire. God didn't just keep them from the fire. You're talking about a body change. How many of you have had burns? They hurt. It blisters. I've seen people burn all over their body, and it's hideous. It was seven times hotter. They was walking in, and the thing was glowing. If you'd have just touched the outside of the furnace, you'd have died. But they walked in it. They walked in there. We got trials and tribulations, folks, but we never had a trial like that before. Amen? We never were told that if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going into that fire pit. But they did. But they what? They had faith under the blood of bulls and goats. They had that much faith. Because they come to a conclusion, I'm not going to bow. We got to come to a conclusion today. We're not going to bow to what the devil's got. I'm not. You should not bow. We don't have to bow. There's only one person we bow to. And you know what? He don't make us. He don't make us. But he loves it when we do. When we bow down and worship him. See, don't be in a hurry. Wait and watch. Listen. Take the scriptures. Examine it. See if it's right. And if it's right, hold on to it. If it's not, tell me so I can get it right. That's what the prophet of God said, right? One more time. Be patient. Now, we got that way, we got to add it. But if you ain't got it that way, don't add it. It won't work. In other words, we were talking about last night, you know, God shut the ark. Noah didn't. Noah was still at the 120th day wanting a crowd of people to just rush into the ark. That's how much he believed of what he was preaching. But God said, I've had enough. I'm going to close the door. Nobody else is getting in. And then Brother Brown tells us there's a time when a Gentile door will close. And I'm not going to close it, and you're not going to close it. God's going to close it. And who's out there is out there, and who's inside is inside. That's what we're coming to. It's not now. I don't believe. I believe we still got people coming in. We're still preaching the gospel as if that is. But there's going to come a time and a place where that's that. And listen, that's our mandate. And this administration tells us there's going to be a day when the door's going to be closed. And we can't open it for nothing. Nothing we can do. But God said, look, God said it's going to rain, and it rained. And those who found a way of escape took it. Those who didn't perished. The same God that said it will rain said fire is going to fall from heaven and destroy the world. And there's a way prepared for you. Those who will take it will escape it. Those who do not will perish. The sinner will perish with a sinful world, but the redeemed will be redeemed by the Holy Spirit. Let's sing a song. Something for you to think about. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Let's invite him in. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. He's here to speak to each and every one of us and anything we need. Anything we need. We all have struggles. We all have trials. We all got things that we worry about that we shouldn't. But there's a way been made to get rid of all that.
Before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate.
Let's sing Holy Spirit, your comfort to me, and then we'll be dismissed.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, and you guide me, and you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Be with us as we take a few moments, Lord, to eat a natural meal. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and sanctify us, Lord, for the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for the food that you give us this morning, Lord. Thank you for that little group there in Ohio, Lord, that's made a decision to step out and, Lord, become their own church. I pray, Lord, that we know for a fact Satan's going to try his best to tear it apart, but, Lord, we pray that you'll protect it. And that they'll know there that there's a group here that's behind them 100%. Lord, I pray that you would just be the ones that are on the highways. June and Deanna are fixing to leave, Lord, and different ones will be leaving later on. Lord, I pray that you would just comfort us, Lord, as the wheels turn, that we may think about you, Lord. There's many things in our mind that gets all jumbled up and happens to every one of us. But, Lord, come down and part that water. And just start speaking to us. Tell us about how much you love us through your word, through music, through your prophet. Lord, the different ones, Father, we know as the song just says, the Holy Spirit is a comfort. It's not a disruptor. It's not somebody that's going to disrupt your life. The Holy Spirit is a comfort. Amen. It's something that will comfort you and guide you and lead you into all truth. That's what the promise of the word is. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now till we come back together at 2 o'clock, that you'll be with the people in Jesus' name. Amen.
To me, oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Bless you, bye. Love you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Glad
appreciate you.
That day when I was
you,
born
love
again.
You, man. Appreciate you. Thank
glad
you.